very different. It was still square and still stone, but it was no longer flat and smooth. The base of the pyramid was covered with engraved markings. How is this possible? He stared for several seconds, wondering if he was hallucinating. I looked at the base of this pyramid a dozen times, and there were no markings. Langdon now realized why. His breathing reflex kick-started, and he drew a sudden gasp of air, realizing that the Masonic pyramid had secrets yet to share. I have witnessed another transformation. In a flash, Langdon understood the meaning of Galloway's last request. Tell Peter this. The Masonic pyramid has always kept her secret, sincerely. The words had seemed strange at the time, but now Langdon understood that Dean Galloway was sending Peter a code. Ironically, this same code had been a plot twist in a mediocre thriller Langdon had read years ago. Sincere. Since the days of Michelangelo, sculptors had been hiding the flaws in their work by smearing hot wax into the cracks and then dabbing the wax with stone dust. The method was considered cheating, and therefore, any sculpture without wax, literally sine sera, was considered a sincere piece of art. The phrase stuck. To this day, we still sign our letters sincerely, as a promise that we have written without wax, and that our words are true. The engravings on the base of this pyramid had been concealed by the same method. When Catherine followed the capstone's directions and boiled the pyramid, the wax melted away, revealing the writing on the base. Galloway had run his hands over the pyramid in the sitting room, apparently feeling the markings exposed on the bottom. Now, if only for an instant, Langdon had forgotten all the danger he and Catherine faced. He stared at the incredible array of symbols on the base of the pyramid. He had no idea what they meant, or what they would ultimately reveal. But one thing was for certain. The Masonic pyramid has secrets left to tell. 8 Franklin Square is not the final answer. Whether it was this adrenaline-filled revelation, or simply the extra few seconds lying there, Langdon did not know. But he suddenly felt control returning to his body. Painfully, he swept an arm to one side, pushing the leather bag out of the way to clear his sightline into the dining room. To his horror, he saw that Catherine had been tied up and a large rag had been stuffed deep into her mouth. Langdon flexed his muscles, trying to climb to his knees. But a moment later, he froze in utter disbelief. The dining room doorway had just filled with a chilling sight. A human form unlike anything Langdon had ever seen. What in the name of God? Langdon rolled, kicking with his legs, trying to back away, but the huge tattooed man grabbed him, flipping him onto his back and straddling his chest. He placed his knees on Langdon's biceps, pinning Langdon painfully to the floor. The man's chest bore a rippling double-headed phoenix. His neck, face, and shaved head were covered with a dazzling array of unusually intricate symbols. Sigils, Langdon knew, which were used in the rituals of dark ceremonial magic. Before Langdon could process anything more, the huge man clasped Langdon's ears between his palms, lifted his head up off the floor, and, with incredible force, smashed it back down onto the hardwood. Everything went black. Chapter 96. Malach stood in his hallway and surveyed the carnage around him. His home looked like a battlefield. Robert Langdon lay unconscious at his feet. Catherine Solomon was bound and gagged on the dining room floor. The corpse of a female security guard lay crumpled nearby, having toppled off the chair where she was propped. This female guard, eager to save her own life, had done exactly as Malach had commanded. With a knife to her throat, she had answered Malach's cell phone and told the lie that had coaxed Langdon and Catherine to come racing out here. She had no partner, and Peter Solomon was certainly not okay. As soon as the woman had given her performance, Malach had quietly strangled her. To complete the illusion that Malach was not home, he had phoned Bellamy using the hands-free speaker in one of his cars. "I'm on the road," he had told Bellamy and whoever else had been listening. Peter is in my trunk. In fact, Malak was driving only between his garage and his front yard, where he had left several of his myriad cars parked askew with the headlights on and the engines running. The deception had worked perfectly. Almost. The only wrinkle was the bloody black-clad heap in the foyer, with a screwdriver protruding from his neck. Malak searched the corpse, and had to chuckle when he found a high-tech transceiver and cell phone with a CIA logo. It seems even they are aware of my power. He removed the batteries and crushed both devices with a heavy bronze doorstop. Malak knew he had to move quickly now, especially if the CIA was involved. He strode back over to Langdon. The professor was out cold and would be for a while. Malak's eyes moved with trepidation now to the stone pyramid on the floor beside the professor's open bag. His breath caught, and his heart pounded. I have waited for years. His hands trembled slightly as he reached down and picked up the Masonic pyramid. As he ran his fingers slowly across the engravings, he felt awed by their promise. Before he became too entranced, he put the pyramid back in Langdon's bag with the capstone and zipped it up. I will assemble the pyramid soon, in a much safer location. He threw Langdon's bag over his shoulder and then tried to hoist Langdon himself, but the professor's toned physique weighed much more than anticipated. Malak settled on grabbing him beneath the armpits and dragging him across the floor. He's not going to like where he ends up, Malak thought. As he dragged Langdon off, the television in the kitchen blared. The sound of voices from the TV had been part of the deception, and Malak had yet to turn it off. The station was now broadcasting a televangelist leading his congregation in the Lord's Prayer. Malak wondered if any of his hypnotized viewers had any idea where this prayer really came from. On earth, as it is in heaven, the group intoned. Yes, Malak thought, as above, so below. And lead us not into temptation. Help us master the weakness of our flesh. Deliver us from evil, they all beseeched. Malak smiled. That could be difficult. The darkness is growing. Even so, he had to give them credit for trying. Humans who spoke to invisible forces and requested help were a dying breed in this modern world. Malak was dragging Langdon across the living room when the congregation declared, Amen. Amen, Malak corrected. Egypt is the cradle of your religion.